100,000 watt blowtorch for St. Louis sports, driven by Auto Centers Nissan, home of the 30-day return. WXOS and WXOS HD1, East St. Louis, 101 ESPN.
I'm living life in the fast lane.
Where it is 5:05 from Dave Buster's, the site of our first Blues Caravan tonight from 7 to 9. Chris Kerber and Alex Ferrario will be with you talking Blues hockey right now. Brad Thompson, Chris Ranji, Brad Barnes are here, and we have Take It or Leave It coming up in a moment. Send your text into the Hot Shots text line 65780. Oh, by the way, your time check coming up on 5:06, brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Chances are pretty high that you've never had a moment where you thought NFL referees deserved a pay raise. Well, after this weekend, you may change your mind. Sean Hockley, the son of former NFL referee Ed Hockley, shined in this weekend's preseason game between the Cardinals and the Chargers.
There were four fouls by the receiving team on the play. During the kick, holding number 82, that penalty's declined. Holding number 36, that penalty's declined. During the return, holding number 38, that penalty is also declined. During the kick, unsportsmanlike conduct, return team for blocking out of bounds. That 15-yard penalty will be enforced from the end of the kick. The number was 82.
That's pretty impressive.
That's really impressive.
That's actually kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
That you're able to get all that going.
There's
on. It's
no
more
way
ridiculous that you're going to call all those same things on a play. Yeah, but
right.
Look,
82 did
it.
Not have a good play.
Well, it happens.
No. Look, I think that's where he needs to excel, because he certainly doesn't have his dad's guns.
You know what? He's still got plenty of time, you know?
To get those guns?
Yeah, and it looks like dad might have had a little help.
Dad had
allegedly.
A lot of help. Yeah, obviously.
I don't know. And I said looks like. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that help is preacher curls.
Fastlane presents Take It or Leave It.
Want to say something? If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
Get your text in now at 65780.
You'll take it and like it.
The Yankees announced today that Giancarlo Stanton, who's played 9 games this year with 31 at-bats, will not return until at least September. They placed him on the 60-day DL with a bad knee. Take it or leave it. The best thing to happen to the Cardinals over the last 2 years was Giancarlo Stanton and his $250 million contract turning the Cardinals down in that trade with the Marlins.
I'm going to leave it, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm going to leave it, too, because if he comes to baseball heaven, he never gets hurt.
Well, that's probably true.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it because I think they still... Well, I don't know. Do you think they still get Paul Goldschmidt?
No.
No, I don't either.
No.
At the very least, they don't re-sign him, and I don't think you make that deal if you don't believe you can re-sign him.
Okay.
Right. I'm with you there.
All right, then I'm going to go ahead and take it.
Yeah, it's a good one.
9 games, and he'll probably wind up playing 9 games this year. And they're still dominant.
Stop.
Yeah.
Think of how good they'd be if they had him too. Ooh. Healthy.
Huh. 9 games and 31 at-bats, and it's August 12th.
Hey, you guys know, well, we talked last week about A-Rod having the saddest birthday ever, where they just brought in the cake. Well, A-Rod had another bad day. A thief smashed into A-Rod's rental car on Sunday night as he was doing the game in San Francisco. He parked about 3 blocks away from Oracle Park, apparently, and a thief did a little smash and grab. He had a bag in there, of which apparently had $500,000 worth of jewelry, electronics, and whatnot. Yeah, $500,000 sitting in a rental car on the street in San Francisco. All right, pretty bad day for A-Rod. Pretty dumb move by A-Rod. Take it or leave it, A-Rod had a worse day than Jessica Mendoza did, who, if you don't know, got rear-ended on her way to the game and couldn't end up making it.
Yeah. I will take that.
I'm going to take
it,
too.
Yeah, she's not seriously hurt, so I'm going to take it. How in the world is he not getting a closer place? Don't you think
Agreed.
That Alex Rodriguez would be parking at the stadium?
How does he not have a car, a driver, a service?
Do you think
I'm shocked that he has a rent-a-car.
Yes.
I see him pulling up in a pick whatever your favorite rent-a-car is. Like, yeah. Seeing him driving a stock one of those. I can't picture it.
So A-Rod just pulled the cheapskate move of let me drive around the block to see if I can find a cheap place to park.
He was waiting for somebody with a blinker on to pull out forever.
ever. Yes, exactly.
And
this is a good spot.
Stupid.
I'm never leaving it.
There isn't a city in America where you leave a bag of $500,000 worth of stuff in your car.
No, the only hope, I guess, to find the suspect is if they drop the turd right next to your car, which is also a thing in San Francisco to poo on the streets. So maybe they'll be able to get some DNA tests.
Well, this is really great because now we all know that A-Rod doesn't pay to park out of principle.
It's the best. Good for him.
Good for him.
That's
wow.
How you stay rich.
He's also worth $500 million. Wow, that's amazing. So we did find out today the Cardinals have their schedule for next season. We don't have times, but we do know the days of the games and who they're going to be playing. And we did hear about this earlier. They're going to play a two-game series June 13th and 14th in London. That'll be a two-game series against the Cubs. They're going to be the home team in those two games. Take it or leave it, that's where our next broadcast on the road should be.
Leave it.
Oh, no. Well, I'll leave it, too. I think that we should have a lot in between those couple.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about, like, our, you know how we do our annual go to Wrigley Field and do a broadcast like we're going to this year in September. Wouldn't you rather go to London?
I've never been.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm taking it. Love I would that. Love to do it.
I've got five American cities that I'd rather do than London.
What?
Yep.
Oh, like what?
Yeah, I don't, for sure.
Oh, I'd rather do San Francisco.
Have you been?
I'd rather
do
New York.
Did you hear the news about A-Rod and his car?
Yeah.
And the poop on the streets?
Well, Randy knows not to get a rental.
Did you hear about those things?
Yeah. I hear the food in London is not great unless you really love fish and chips.
Stop. I don't know. Gordon Ramsay had a restaurant. He's pretty well known.
No, well then let's go.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm good.
I'm in.
All right. Kids, Big Ben, Parliament.
Big Sis, what do you got for us?
Take it or leave it, if Jordan Hicks or Alex Reyes were healthy all season, the Cardinals would have first place in the Central locked down.
Gonna leave it.
Leave it.
There wouldn't be anything locked down.
Bingo. Yeah.
So, Olive Garden this Thursday is debuting a lifetime card for pasta, salad, and breadsticks. $400 for a lifetime.
$400 for life?
For life. $400 for life.
Your life or the restaurant's?
Exactly. Pasta, salad, and breadsticks. Take it or leave it. You could get your $400 worth in less than a year.
Take it.
I'm going to leave it.
I'll leave it. I wouldn't spend $400 in a year.
But think about going once a week. Would you be willing to go once a week? Because that would be 52 times 8. That's over 400, right?
Yeah. Yes. The answer is I could, but I don't think I'd feel very good about myself if I got my $400 in within a year. You know what I mean? But for life is great.
What happens if Olive Garden ceases to exist at some point?
It's just like my Uncle Toots membership.
Oh, you mean my like my Borders gift card?
Yep.
That I still have.
It still looks nice. Have you guys ever been to an Olive Garden, though, and it's not packed?
No,
I haven't been to an Olive.
I don't think they're going anywhere.
I honestly don't think I've been to an Olive Garden in at least a decade.
Really?
Yeah.
Save your text messages. I understand we have some really great Italian food here. The Hill's awesome. Some great spots.
Yeah.
I like Olive Garden. I dig it. I love the soup, salad, and breadsticks. Can't go wrong. And look, don't waste your time on the text. I'm still going to go. Don't at me, as the kids say. Yeah.
I'm with you. I would go pretty much any place on the Hill every day except for Meat's house.
Well, it's because there's mold.
Yes, because there's
everywhere.
There are organisms growing in the vent.
And it's not his fault.
No, it's not my fault.
Oh, Meat's going to have lawsuits against him from random Tinder dates.
That's true.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Am I on the hook for that?
Probably.
No, Meat. That's the landlord.
The kid.
Oh, well.
But you're moving out because you have mold.
I'm already out.
Okay, good.
Technically. Some of my stuff is still there getting infected and nasty.
Have you had your lungs checked?
No, not yet. Not yet. We'll find out if I die this week or next.
What was your favorite line that she gave you?
I sent multiple pictures of mold everywhere, including my clothes, and told her I was breathing in mold and mildew, and it was not a safe environment. And the quote was, "Excuse me, it is a very safe environment."
Why don't you live here?
Yeah. Madam, I beg to differ. Yeah. I have pictures.
Ruining all my suits and everything.
That's the picture you sent of your pants and your belt.
I had a belt that was just on like a little plastic like pop-up clothes rack because there's no storage, and the belt was covered green mold, and she saw the picture and said, maybe it's not mold, it could be dust.
What kind of dust you got in this place?
What? Have you seen dust, madam?
Oh, my goodness.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to die. Take it or leave it. Buddha, Mark Budaska, got thrown under the bus today.
I'm going to leave it.
I'm going to leave it, too. I think he just got let go. I don't think that they added an insult to injury, and they're not going to throw. And they flew. The team flew yesterday after the game, so there was no bus today at all.
If there was a bus, do you think they would have gone that route?
No, I don't. I think they're just going to let a guy go. I feel like that's enough. You don't have to hit him with a vehicle.
I don't think that whatever offensive problems they had, somebody deserves to die over it.
I would think the screams of philosophical differences, and Derek Gould alluded to that in a tweet, and that happens. If you have two people working together and they don't have the same approach to the final goal, the guy who's the boss and is probably better liked within the organization is probably the guy that wins, right?
Probably. And maybe somebody who's newer school.
Well, the guy that was handpicked, basically.
Yeah, and by the way, have you guys ever seen the aftermath of somebody getting hit by a bus?
I watched Naked Gun. It was a fabulous documentary.
No, that was a steamroller.
He got hit by a bus first, and then a steamroller, and then the USC marching band.
Oh, okay.
My father went like that.
Here's what Derek Gould wrote on Twitter from the Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com. Cardinals move today underscores commitment to hitting coach Jeff Albert and what the front office wants to be his comprehensive offensive strategy throughout the system. Hitting coaches fired or reassigned within the past 13 months, Mabry, Muller, Greer returned to the minors, and now Buddha. So there you have it. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. The Cardinals got a little Memphis magic over the weekend in a series sweep of the Buccos. At this point, the hot hand has to play for the Birds, right? That's next on 101 ESPN.
You're in the fast lane on 101 ESPN.
There's Tommy Edman. And Edman hits it out to right center. It's at the wall! With the catch, they're going to test him. Throw to the plate, and he got him. It's a double play. Thomas, a strike to home. And Kisner, the tag. Double play.
And the 3-2 pitch, they do not start the runner, and it's a strikeout. Junior Fernandez gets his first strikeout in the big leagues. There they go. And Thomas hits a drive. And a deep left.
Danny Mac, the calls on FS Midwest, and BT is loving those calls.
It's awesome. Danny gets so into it, and the voice just going up, going crazy.
Man, it's good, clean fun right there. What a game that was. What
it was
a comeback.
Great. And great to see the kids performing. Tommy Edman, we heard his grand slam. Of course, Lane Thomas yesterday. And Dan mentioned this morning with Bernie, and I agree, that you have to throw contracts out the window now, and the guys that are performing best are the guys that have to be in the lineup on a regular basis. You play Lane Thomas until he's not hot anymore. Now that you have Rosarena up, let him play until he shows you that he's not hot anymore. And I am so proud of Dexter Fowler and what he's done this year, because I don't think any of us thought that he would get back to what he had been in the past, and he has. But those kids right now have a higher ceiling than he does.
Yeah, so I think like every single rule, there are exceptions. While I agree with the idea of forget the contracts, player's going to play, but is kind of where I'm at with that. There are certain guys that are going to play. Goldie's going to play. He can go 0 for his next 40. He's going to play. He's going to be in there maybe with a random day off every once in a while. I believe that Ozuna, with the upside that he has, he's going to play. He's going to be out there. He's going to be in the lineup, even though you don't have him under contract for the following years. You want to maximize what you do have with him. Yachty coming back, Yachty's going to be in there. He's going to play as well. I would say outside of that, maybe you mix and match. and guys have earned. So Colton Wong earns playing all the time, and I'm sure that he's been frustrated recently not getting playing time against a couple of lefties. I know he was upset not being in the game against Kershaw in L.A., and rightfully so. He's done a great job, but overall, you have a lot of guys fighting for playing time, fighting for ABs, wanting reps out in the field, and as a manager, while it would be so nice to just have a starting lineup that you knew you could throw out there every single day, I think the second best thing is having competition and real competition where guys are hungry to play. And Lane Thomas is hungry, got an opportunity, and had a triple, a grand slam. Tommy Edmond has been hungry. He's playing all these different positions. He's getting on base. He's working counts. Kisner, I think, did a great job before getting sent down. I love the idea of fighting for playing time.
7 weeks left to go in the regular season. There isn't much reason to go with guys just because they have a contract. I understand it more in April and in May because there's so much of the season to go. And when a player has a contract, that means they've got a track record. And you signed that guy based on the track record, and you assume that eventually he's going to come around if he's struggling, that he's going to go back to the back of the baseball card guy, that he's going to do what he typically does. So I understand. Then, right now, you're at the point of the season, you don't really have time to wait on somebody to find themselves and to figure it out. So while you have it, while you have the production out of Lane Thomas and hopefully a Rosarena if he's able to get some starts, hopefully you get the production out of him. I don't think there's any reason to not play those guys. And I'm with you on Dexter Fowler, Randy. I appreciate what he's done. I'm glad that he's been a productive player, though he's about league average. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to not find out if a Rosarena can give them a little bit of something different, and there's no reason not to continue to play Thomas until he tells you with his play that he doesn't deserve to play every day. And we're not at that point yet.
And this weekend, Tommy Edmond went 7-for-13 with a double, a triple, a stolen base, and 3 runs scored. And Matt Carpenter went 1-for-6. So who do you go with, the guy that went 7-for-13 or the guy that went 1-for-6? Again, I'm going to play the hot hand.
I am too, and I am really interested as, and it's only 2 games, so, I mean, it's going to be hard to read a ton out of that, but how Mike Shildt deploys his lineup, because we were kicking this around earlier as far as it goes. When I'm making my best lineup, like right now, just looking at it on paper, I'm not sure even with the DH. Actually, I'm pretty sure even with the DH, Matt Carpenter right now for me is probably not in that lineup. I might have Dexter Fowler as my DH right now, a guy that's getting on base, and then use Lane Thomas, use Randy Arozarena out in the outfield. You maximize yourself there. You have Tommy Edmond starting over at third base, and to me right now that might be your best lineup. I think it's going to be really interesting the next couple of days. By the way, I'll be very surprised if that happens. So I think that Carpenter's going to get the reps.
I'm sure he will, too. Yeah.
And I do, for whatever reason, I get the sense that the Cardinals still want to give Munoz his opportunities, too. In addition to Edmond, it seems like Gyro's in there more than I would have him in there.
He's a good player, too.
He's a really good player.
And another guy that he has throughout his young career, he stepped up in big spots, like late in games against really tough relievers. He's done some big things. I think that he's a good weapon. I do think that when you have so many guys, and especially so many young players that are fighting for reps, you have to figure out a way to get kind of everybody in there every once in a while. And then, again, you see who sparks something, and you get them in more.
I thought it was interesting also that Brian Walton said that it's his belief that O'Neill still has more potential than any of these other guys, including Carlson, that we're talking about.
He said more than Carlson?
Yeah, he said any of these other guys we're talking about, and Carlson was part of that conversation. Certainly more power potential. He's the only guy capable of hitting 30 home runs at the major league level. I just wonder when it's going to happen. He's only 24, but I just wonder when and if it's going to happen.
Yeah, and the fear is, and I'm sure it's the same exact fear that Seattle had when they dealt him, although they've gotten themselves a centerpiece back with Marco Gonzalez. The fear is that he comes into his own somewhere else. So if you end up saying, all right, we like our depth in the outfield, and you move on from him, if he goes somewhere else and starts tearing it up, a lot like we've seen Oscar Mercado do, but with a lot more power, then you're going to be kicking yourself in the butt. But the thing is, now you got to figure out ways to win games. Certainly O'Neill not back yet from the IL, so he's not in this mix right now. But That's why you have to make tough decisions, and you have to evaluate what you have properly.
Yeah, this is certainly not the time to be... I don't think you necessarily defer to veteran players just because they're veterans. This is a... We're getting down to it here. Like I said, 7 weeks left to go. There is no... There's not a great reason for them to wait on veterans at this point, because you don't have time to wait on them. So if they're not performing, and that means if Molina comes back and it's like a week and he's having real significant trouble at the plate, I think you let Matt Wieters get a couple of extra week. I think this is how you have to play it. You don't have much of a margin for error. And with us getting down to the very end of the season, that means you have to maximize everything you can, and you can't worry about feelings at this point.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Coming up, the Cardinals finally picked up some wins, and we know you have questions about that and much more. So get them in now to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. The Sports Six Pack coming your way on 101 ESPN.
Let me ask you a question.
It's time for the Fast Lane to answer your sports questions.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Get your questions in to 65780.
Remember, there are no stupid questions, just stupid people.
And we do appreciate your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780, with your questions for us. Here is Big Sizz.
Question number one.
So with all of the outfielders, the Cardinals have the major league level already. Plus, you've got a bunch of guys like Randy Arozarena, who was down in the minors. Which one of these guys, or could any of them, be used as trade bait maybe this offseason with so many guys in a logjam?
I think the overall answer is yes.
Yes.
Right? You deal from positions of strength. Now, we have seen the Cardinals deal from positions of strength here recently when it comes to the outfield and deal off some really good pieces in Tommy Pham, which probably traded for different reasons, knowing that he was a good player and dealing off Oscar Mercado and not really knowing what he was going to be. So the answer is yes, you could trade one of those, but I think the biggest key is figuring out which one of those guys or which couple of those guys that you have to hang on to. The evaluation process is huge.
Arozarena probably has the best value out of the outfielders, I would think, at this point.
I see. I would go back to O'Neill again.
Yeah, with the pop.
Yeah, I wonder about him, because I think what his profile is right now is probably who he's going to be, high strikeout, high power guy. I wonder if teams view Arozarena as a better overall prospect, like the ceiling is higher. So, that's just my guess. I don't really know what they think, but that's where I'd lean.
And, of course, this is all dependent upon what the Cardinals do with Marcell Ozuna. Does he get a qualifying offer? Does he accept the qualifying offer? Do the Cardinals have any interest at all in signing Ozuna to a long-term contract? That changes what your plans are for those young outfielders significantly.
I am, to that point there, I am terrified is the wrong word, because I would never go into a season actually scared. What does this offense look like without Marcell Ozuna next year?
I agree with you. What does the outfield look
like? You're going to roll out three question marks in the outfield?
Yes, that's the problem.
Oh, here we go.
Yep.
You better make a sizable trade.
And he's a really good player, but I was going through all the other 29 teams this morning. I can't figure out who signs him as a free agent. You'd think that would be easy to find a team that'd say, okay, they really need a guy or could use a guy like Marcell Ozuna. I wonder who that team, obviously somebody will offer him a contract, but I wonder who that team is.
Yeah, well, I just wonder if the Cardinals are going to want to be in on that mix. I kind of hope so.
Me too. 100%.
I think if it were 3 years ago, they absolutely would. And he'd get more looks from other teams. But everybody seems to be willing to just fill their gaps with guys they've got in the minor leagues as opposed to acquiring.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man, but I'm with BT on this. Randy and I talked about it a lot when you were out, BT, but I do not like the outfield going into 2020 if he's not in it, because that means you have three guys out there, regardless of who they are. You have no idea what you're getting from the three of them.
Let me ask one other question here. Who is more pursued in free agency between Ozuna and Puig?
Ozuna, by far.
I agree with that.
He'll cost less.
Yeah. So maybe Cleveland.
Who's going to cost less?
I think Ozuna will.
Puig is going to cost less.
Oh, I don't know
Ozuna's
about that.
Been twice the player Puig has.
I know, but I think just watch what teams do. I would be surprised if he gets more than
I will put whatever bet on that you want as far as AAV. Yeah.
Maybe a team like Cleveland would make a move for Marcel. But it probably, once again, teams hate to give up those first-round picks, so it's going to depend on the Cardinals and the qualifying offer.
Question number two.
Cardinals have a two-game series with the Royals beginning tomorrow in KC. I know, big fans, all that jazz. KC's known for barbecue, guys. If you could have your favorite barbecue item, what is it?
It's ribs. I think it changes where you go. Like, KC, I'm thinking burnt ends in Kansas City. Like, I really, really like those. Do dig me some ribs, too.
A
good brisket.
Mm. Brisket, I think, is probably the direction I would go.
Brisket's one that I never do at home because brisket actually takes quite a bit of care. Mm-hmm. So, like a pork shoulder is pretty darn easy to do. You throw it in and you're good to go. I think brisket is one that I always go to.
Our friend Mike Johnson at Sugarfire has spectacular brisket.
If these items are made as well as they can possibly be made, it is ribs first, then burnt ends, and then I think you're going with the brisket.
I do like some great ribs.
Underrated, too, maybe because it's so simple. I love smoked turkey.
I do, too. I didn't bring it up, but I do love it.
Love it. Question number three.
Brisket. Okay. That's my one and only answer. I know.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, for once.
Got a couple out there.
That was just my one.
If you are Mike Schilt and you are writing up the lineup card for tomorrow night, how do you factor in Randy or Rosarena? How do you use it?
Oh, I put him in the lineup. I wrote a lineup a little bit earlier. You want to hear it?
Let's hear it.
All right, with the DH. All right, I've got Fowler leading off. He's my designated hitter. I've got Tommy Edman batting second, playing third. I've got Goldie, Ozuna, DeYoung, Wong, Molina, Thomas, or Rosarena is my lineup.
I think because of what Rosarena has done, I think I'm going to let him stay in his comfort zone in the leadoff spot. And then Fowler second, and then I'll move Edman down to where you had Rosarena.
That's fine. Rosarena is my, what we call the second leadoff hitter.
Yeah, that's cool. So Edman can be that guy, too.
What were your top four again?
Fowler, Edman, Goldie, Ozuna.
I don't like Edman up top. That's the only thing. I wouldn't have him hitting there.
Raj, how about a Rosarena at the top and Fowler hitting second? Okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, give it a chance. What?
We're all thinking, no, it's all good.
Yeah,
I don't think you can go wrong here. Edmund had a sensational weekend series.
That's great.
For 140 games, you probably don't want to do it, but he's hot right now. So I totally get where you're coming from, BT.
Well, and it seems like the organization is leaning that way, obviously, with Schilt putting him where he's been putting him.
Yeah.
Question number four.
A little football action here. Fantasy football just around the corner. Who is your top fantasy football running back?
Saquon.
Got to be, right?
Yeah.
He's not going to hold out.
No, probably not. That's a good call. I am terrified by the holdouts. Not as terrified as probably Randy is since you got bit by the Le'Veon Bell, but the Zeke Elliott, the Melvin Gordon, they scare me quite a bit. No real scare there when it comes to Saquon. He's going to get his reps. He can catch the ball as well. So if you're in a PPR, I think that's a handy one.
Except for you don't know who's going to be throwing it and getting it to his hand.
Well, Daniel Jones, that's the guy.
You know, whether it's Daniel Jones or it's Eli, that's the easy guy.
Safety valve.
Yeah, just dump it right off.
Did you not see Daniel Jones dominating the preseason?
I did see that they anointed him, right? That he was going to end up being the guy. By the way, Kamara.
Yeah.
Kamara.
You see Kamara? I see Kamara.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, lights Kamara action. that's not a bad pick either.
Big Sis, how about your guy, Mecole Hardman?
He's actually, there's a lot of hype around him. He was okay the other night in their game.
He can run, man.
They're going to be throwing the ball so much, though. I mean, and they pass to the running back so much. They've done that so much for the past couple years. I don't know.
You're not feeling it?
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Don't forget, don't sleep on Christian McCaffrey, by the way. He can run. Call.
Question number five.
If the Fast Lane was in the studio, who would win in a arm wrestling tournament?
What is this? Why does it have to be
just
in the
us
studio?
Three? Yeah. And this includes Big Sis, you'd win.
Mike Ryder is in the studio.
Meat's got some big old pipes.
There's not much there, though.
Yeah. Randy's got huge paws.
Yeah. He does have otter paws. I think he'd be able to get over
and
the top.
And you're a pitcher.
I've got small hands. I got a good grip strength, but I don't think that does a lot for you. It's all about the wrist turnover. If you get that right off the bat, you're good. If you don't get wrist position, I think Meat's going to win this, though. I really do.
I agree.
Question number six.
And with the Mark Budaska news today, the Cardinals released him. What do you think changes for their hitters?
Nothing.
They swing super hard and hit tons of home runs. It'll hit a bunch of dingers.
You think so? They all turn into Big Al?
I hit dingers.
I really don't think that you're going to see a noticeable difference in watching the product. I think, obviously, and to the point that you mentioned Derek Gould's tweet, there seem to be philosophical differences. Not everybody on the same page, but I don't think that changing your assistant hitting coach is going to make you all of a sudden just rake as a team.
No. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Next up in the Fast Lane, more on the ascent of Randy Arozarena. Plus, thoughts on other top prospects from Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. Next on 101 ESPN.
This is the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN.
Randy Arozarena was part of the big signing class. July 2nd, 2016, he signed for $1.25 million, 24 years old. He's worked his way up through the system, played extremely well there, then came up to Memphis and continued. And, I mean, the guy has been the player of the month in the Cardinals organization for both June and July, and it's continued to hit well in August.
Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com earlier today here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And it takes time for young people to assimilate to pro baseball, especially when they have to assimilate to a new country. And the Cardinals put Arozarena on the fast track after, as Brian mentioned, they signed him in 2016. He got an opportunity at AAA last year and didn't really do much. But now he's the guy that is looked upon as the number one Cuban import. Remember, Adolis Garcia was the guy that was called up to the major leagues last year, and Garcia now is kind of out of sight, out of mind. I know he's down at Memphis, but we don't even think about him when we talk about that Cardinal outfield mix.
Yeah, I guess it's because he hasn't been lighting the world on fire like Arozarena has, even though the numbers overall for Garcia are good. And the hope is that that spark, that excitement, that every day in, day out of Randy Arozarena doing his thing at AAA will convert to the big leagues, and he's able to continue that. Now, it's going to be different. There's going to be a learning curve, and Brian Walton talked about the learning curve that he had last year in Memphis and how he struggled, came back this year, and made adjustments. He might go through those. He'll likely go through those at the big league level, but at this point, with everything that he's done this year and continues to put up numbers, I mean, how do you not do this? How do you not bring him up and give him a shot? I'm glad he's finally getting a chance.
It's interesting because the Cardinals have such high hopes and high regard for center fielder Dylan Carlson, but Walton told us earlier that the Cardinals actually wanted to see Arozarena in center too.
Initially, Lane Thomas was the center fielder there, and Arozarena played left. Well, about a month or 6 weeks ago, St. Louis directed them in Memphis to say, hey, I want you to play Randy every day in center field. We want to see what we've got from him. And, he's played extremely well in center field. So just like Thomas, he can play all three outfield positions and is a very versatile guy. His advantage is, he can hit for average, as we're seeing, hitting whatever, 368 in the last month or so at Memphis. So he's a little bit more of an average guy, less power than a Thomas or an Adolis Garcia.
And when Bader got there, Bader played center field, and Arozarena moved back to the corner.
Well, so whatever Arozarena can do here, that's the kind of thing that I think they're in a position to find out if he can continue what he's been doing. And I certainly don't expect him to be exactly the same kind of level of production that he's been giving them in AA, and he's been even better in AAA. You can't realistically expect it, but you can certainly hope that maybe for the next 7 weeks he's capable of replicating something like that. Because this team, as we've talked about their margin for error, it's not great. So every little bit of help they can get, they have to run with it. And the same thing goes for Thomas. Both of those guys, whatever you're getting from them right now, if it is production, you run with that. Forget about salaries. Forget about veteran players and contracts that are on the books. You have to win games right now. And if those two guys provide it for you, you ride it out until they stop providing for you.
Meanwhile, we also asked about Junior Fernandez, and Brian Walton said, this is a guy that has a chance to do something after a injury-plagued minor league career.
The key difference for Junior Fernandez, I mean, he's always had the upper 90s fastball, but the ability to locate his breaking pitches, like so for so many young pitchers, was really the key for him stepping forward. And if you look, you know, Fernandez was basically stalled at high A for 2 years. He started this season in Palm Beach, tore it up there, moved up to Springfield, was even better, moved up to Memphis, was even better there. So, you know, we're talking about a guy who a year ago was left unexposed in the rule, in the Rule 5 draft and wasn't taken because there was this concern about his health history. He showed he's very helpful this year, you know, healthy this year, and you know he has the potential to be a back of the bullpen guy if he can, you know, continue to get those breaking pitches over for strike.
He's a big, sturdy fella too.
He is for sure. And it was fun to see him get his major league debut. I'm sure it didn't go exactly as planned as he exited the game. Then his couple of guys that he left on ended up coming around to score. But you see why the organization is high on him now. Not obviously. Obviously, to Brian Walton, as he said, he was left exposed in the Rule 5 draft, so not incredibly high the whole time, but you were able to keep him, and he's got an upper 90s fastball. He's got a good changeup, too. His changeup is his secondary pitch, like the one that he feels the most comfortable with. That's what he got his first punch out of his major league career with. But you can see the slider. He threw a couple of them and got a swing and miss through one. You can see that pitch is still developing. When you see a good tight slider, when you're looking at one slow motion, all you see is a very small dot. Like from the pitcher's vantage point or from the catcher's. His, you kind of see a big circle around it. Just means he's kind of getting around that pitch. But when you're geared up for 98, it doesn't have to be a perfect slider. It has to be a change of pace and something that you're able to locate for a strike. And I hope we get the chance with Junior Fernandez to see him in, you know, more and more, bigger and bigger spots. As we saw a guy like Giovanni Gallegos, him be able to grow through the year.
And how many times have we seen in October young players that the rest of the country really doesn't know about step to the fore? Heck, your bullpen in 06. Pretty much everybody.
Kenny,
right?
Tyler Johnson stepping up. Adam Wainwright, at least everybody knew who he was, but stepping up as a member of the bullpen. You're right. It's happened over the years. The last couple of years, though, we've been used to seeing that being a starting pitcher that comes up. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, crap, where did this guy come from? The Cardinals got another gun. I don't think they have another one of those this year.
No, unfortunately.
If he's capable of continuing to throw strikes and he's got 10 per 9, 10 strikeouts per 9 innings, actually it's just a bit over 10 per 9, and you add that to a bullpen that's already been pretty good this season in doing just that, getting guys to swing and miss. They are third best in the National League. The Brewers and Padres have gotten more strikeouts per 9 than they have. You add that to the mix, and certainly for a unit that could use every bit of reinforcement they can get because they've been asked to work so much, if he can continue to stay around the strike zone, continue to get those punch outs, continue to get the swing and miss, that's going to be a huge benefit for them. And as long as he can do that, I have no doubt. If he throws strikes, I have no doubt he'll be successful where he's at.
Coming up in the fast lane, Dan McLaughlin has a blast calling Cardinals games, but imagine calling games for a constant loser. That's next, before, with all due respect, 101 ESPN.